Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. You probably know where I'm going already. Scripture song this morning is Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. It goes like this, and then you can sing along a few times after. It goes, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." That's how it goes. Now, there's a little bit of a tag that goes with that, but we'll just keep it simple. And I left a word out there. Sorry. We'll get that in this time around. All right. Kind of get the tune a little bit. And sorry, it may be a little low because the same reason that all of you are probably speaking a little lower than you usually do during this season. We all are. Okay. Ready? And something's going on here, so. Anyways. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." I keep messing up the key there in that. "And lo, I am with you alway." There you go. And actually that amen, we're all supposed to shout amen at the end of that, after we say amen. All right, it goes, "And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Amen! You got it? All right, hopefully you'll be awake after we sing it, right? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Amen! You got it? It's kind of a kid's tune, you know, but it works, right? It should be enough to kind of liven you up a little bit. Actually, reading the verse ought to make you excited, because it's the commission that God gave us, and it's the exciting thing that we should be all about all the time. Let's sing it one more time, and hopefully we'll get the... for some reason, I'm just messing it all up at the end there, but you get the idea. Ready? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Amen! All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the commission that you've given us. Lord, we thank you, Father, for sending your own Son, and Lord, sending him to die for those who do not deserve it. And Lord, we thank you so much, Father, for having mercy. Lord, that you've given us all the opportunity, and you've said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, we thank you, Father, so much, Lord, that today, each and every one of us, if we've not already been
have an opportunity to be redeemed. And Lord, we thank You, Father, for conquering sin, death, and the grave. And Lord, we thank You for giving us abundant life. Father, please help us not to settle for living in anything less than the abundant life that You have suffered and died for us to have. Lord, we pray, Father, that You would help us now. Stir our hearts, Lord. Burn within us, Father, the flame that only You, the Holy Ghost, can burn in our hearts. And Father, use us, Lord, to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever You've commanded us. Lord, help us to not only just know in our minds and in our heads, but to know in our hearts and in our walk that You're with us always. And Father, we just look forward now to what You have for us this morning. Lord, move me out of the way, Father, and speak and teach us, Lord, what You'd have for us. Help us, Lord, to know what revival is. Not just in our heads, but in our lives. And Lord, we look forward to seeing You glorified as a result. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, last time we were together, we talked about community revival or church-wide revival. We talked about the how it's going to happen. Okay, and the answer, remembering, is the only way that revival is going to take place in this church as a whole is if it takes place in your heart and in your heart and in your heart and yours 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 and mine. It has to happen on an individual basis in order for it to happen on a church-wide basis. The Spirit of God works on hearts individually. And it's amazing how He does it all at the same time. It's amazing how God is working in each of your hearts even now. I hope that the Spirit of God has stirred your heart already this morning. I hope that you've all come together excited and ready to hear what God has for you. I hope that we've all come together and we've already met with God this morning. We've already heard from His Word. We've already spoke to Him in prayer. We've already sought His face and we've already just yearn to hear what He has for us. And then when we come together, hopefully it's not just this morning. Hopefully it's happened all week. And then when we come together, because on an individual basis we've sought the Lord, and because on an individual basis we've poured out our heart before Him, and because on an individual basis we've looked and we've desired and we've sought to see Him working in our lives, when we come together, we begin to see Him work on a group basis. And so, through the Bible, we looked at the Old Testament examples. Actually, the first lesson, we mentioned many of them. Hopefully, you've already read this entire booklet. If you don't have a copy, let me know afterwards. I'll get you a copy. We've got some extra copies in pastor's office. But hopefully, you've had an opportunity to read through the entire booklet. You've had, this would be the fifth week, fourth lesson, but fifth week, having an opportunity to read through there. Hopefully, you've read those revival accounts that we put in there. Those were hopefully enough to be able to give you a little bit of stirring and a little bit of salt to whet the taste and to get you thirsty to see God work in our day as He's worked in the past. And as you look through your Bible and you see in 2 Chronicles when they dedicated the temple and God showed up, And the people were able to see what God was doing. And the people were able to see the answer that God gave to Solomon's prayer. And then His promise that if... See, Solomon asked Him. Solomon said, God, if... And I'm paraphrasing, but Solomon said, asked God, if your people would pray to You in this place or toward this place, talking about the temple, would You please hear their prayer? And He gives the answer. He said, if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face, turn from their wicked ways. I may be mixing some of it up, but hopefully I get all of it in there. Turn from their wicked ways, seek My face. He says, then will I hear from heaven. Right? He gave an answer. He said, when Solomon asked, and Solomon sought the Lord on this dedication, sought the Lord quite a bit. And then God gives an answer. When God gave His answer, I'm not going to go there right now because we don't have time, but if you just read 2 Chronicles chapters 5 through 7, maybe a little bit of 8 there, when you get a chance, you'll see that when God answered, they had thousands of animals that they were sacrificing to Him. And God answered by fire. took the sacrifice. I mean, an amazing thing. And the Spirit of God filled the place. Filled the place. The presence of God filled the temple so much that no one could even enter. That happened on a number of occasions through the Old Testament. It happened in the tabernacle. The point of the matter is that we want the presence of God. We understand mentally and theologically that we have the presence of God here with us right now. But sometimes He's got to remind us that it's more than just words on a page. Amen. God is real.
Amen.
And He is really here right now. For some, you should have fear right here. Maybe for all of us. We should understand the presence of the Lord. We should understand the presence of the Lord because we walk with Him. Not just mentally. We really truly experience a relationship with Jesus Christ. We walk with Him. You speak to Him just like you'd speak to the closest friend that you've ever had. You listen for His leading just as you'd talk to a friend and expect to hear a response. Now, I'm not talking about some mystical gobbledygook. I'm talking about a real relationship with the Lord where everything that you do, as Pastor preached, I think it was just Wednesday night or maybe it was Sunday night, everything that you do, you're seeking the Lord for an answer. And, you know, as you develop and cultivate your relationship with the Lord, you may not have to search every time because He brings it to you. When you ask the Lord, what should I do here? Scripture, 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 Scripture. Just comes immediately. That's how the Spirit of God speaks to you. You want God to speak to you when you're walking around during your day, when you're driving to work, when you're at work, when you're doing your thing, when you're out working on your yard, when you're doing whatever. You want God to speak with you? Know Him. Know His Word. Study His Word. Memorize His Word. And that's how He speaks to you. Through Scripture. He's going to speak to you. So through the Old Testament, we have the example of the restoration of Judah in Ezra and Nehemiah when God began to operate revival in the nation of Israel. And I wanted to get, actually I just wanted to just mention these things and then jump into the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus promised that there was a promise to come. He said that ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, revival taking place on an individual basis spreads to a group basis because individuals continue to respond. And by the way, you might be the one that stops that spreading if you don't respond to the Spirit of God working. As it spreads, and the church begins, and I don't say that in some mystical way, I mean you guys. I mean specifically each and every individual one of you, the church. Members of McGregor Road Baptist Church. That's who it applies to. I'm not preaching any other church this morning. The church begins to do what God commanded because the Spirit of God is in control of them. And as we do that, we see great things happen. What was it? They said they stayed in Jerusalem and they prayed and they waited for the Lord to empower them to do what He had for them to do. In Acts chapter number 2, we saw the Spirit of God come down. That was the baptism that was promised by John the Baptist. And the church in Jerusalem began to do what? Preach, absolutely. The speaking with other tongues, that was part of that preaching. It was because the Spirit of God empowered them to preach the wonderful works of God. And we saw 3,000 saved. What happens when revival takes place? The bottom line is people get saved. People get saved. That's how community revival happens, because the people of God begin to be controlled by the Spirit of God, and they preach the wonderful works of God, and people get saved. They go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And they teach them to observe all things whatsoever He's commanded them, because Jesus Christ is with us. And the Spirit of God is with us. And the power of God is with us. And we no longer have a form of godliness and deny the power, but we have a form of godliness, and the power of God has a hold of us. And He does something with us, and He uses us to make a difference in this world. I had a thought last night. The Lord has had me up and burdened and praying a lot lately about people. And last night I was up again at about 1 in the morning, and then again at about 2 something, and then again at about 4 something, then again at 5, and then at 6. And the Lord just burning in my heart that the people that you guys know, that I know, the people that God has called us to preach to, they're on their way to hell. That's not just a nursery rhyme. That's not just a story. That's real. That is real. And we need to pray that God would give us an understanding, a true reality understanding, that if the person out there today that's going to pass away today does not hear the gospel, does not, and maybe they've heard the gospel, but maybe God wants you to tell them again. If they do not hear, close their eyes in this life and open their eyes in hell, and they'll be in that place of torment. And that's not a story. That's real. There are people today that are in hell today because somebody didn't preach the gospel to them yesterday. There are people in Acton that this week they'll be in hell. There are people in Fountain Square that this week they'll be in hell. People all over the city of Indianapolis, this week they'll be in hell. That's real. It's exciting to know you're redeemed and you're on your way to heaven. It's an exciting thing. But God saved us not just to go to heaven, but to reach those that are going the same place we were going. Revival makes that real to you. Revival makes you not just go because you know it's right, not just go because I just gave you a guilt trip, but go because the Spirit of God is burning in your heart and bringing tears to your eyes. Because you know the people are going to die and go to hell. And you know that the Son of God, who came and lived that perfect and sinless life and suffered the agonies of torture and torment on the cross, and then suffered the rejection of His Father on the cross and the wrath of God for your sin, for my sin, and for the sin of the one who it's too late for. Of a preacher once saying that we don't want to let a single drop of the blood of Jesus Christ be shed in vain. And no, Christ didn't die in vain. He died to save the whole world. Every single soul that would ever live. But if we don't go preach, they don't hear the gospel. They don't get the conviction of God upon their heart and therefore repentance. They don't trust Him in faith and call on Him for salvation. And they go to the place of torment. In Acts chapter 8, after we saw many saved, and I'm summarizing because we're at the end of this, and if I went to every verse and we spent a lot of time on each one, it would be much more than the time I have allotted. In Acts chapter 8, we had a wonderful thing that maybe we need to begin to pray for again. We had persecution. Persecution is a wonderful thing. Doesn't seem to be, I don't even have any strange looks at me yet. Let me say that again. Persecution is a wonderful thing. Being tortured, stoned to death, burned at the stake, ripped from limb, limb from limb, fed to lions, painfully murdered. It's a wonderful thing. Not because it feels good, but because sometimes it's the only thing that can happen to open our eyes to what's at stake here. You know, a few people ending this temporary life a little bit early is nothing compared to the masses that end this temporary life and burn in hell forever. If God could get a hold of us such that we don't care about this anymore, this stuff, as much as we care about what's inside, as much as we care about the souls of men who will burn forever, if God could get a hold of us and give us a vision of true reality, which is much deeper than the flesh, much deeper than what the eye can see. You know, the things that you see are just a simple picture of the things that are real behind the scenes. Spiritual reality is much more real than what you even see. Often, what you see is deceiving. And what you think is reality isn't even really reality. The system in which we live, and I could do a whole series on the system, the world, the cosmos, the system of the world, and the prince and power of the air, the system in which we live, and all of the way that it operates and everything. It's a facade compared to what's happening behind the scenes. That's why we say to stand having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith, having the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's why we have the armor of God. Spiritual armor of God. That's why we have that, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's not our president. That's not our senators. That's not our congressmen. That is spiritual wickedness in high places. That's not the people. The high places are not the people. It's what's going on behind the scenes. And it's going on right there in the town of Acton. There is spiritual wickedness going on, where people are completely controlled by the lusts of the flesh, which are earthly, sensual, and devilish. People are completely controlled by the kingdom of darkness and the prince of the power of the air. And the only thing that's going to change that is for us to see that it's more than just the person that we're talking to. They have to see deep down in their soul that what we're saying is true. The Spirit of God reveals to them that their sin is going to send them to hell. The Spirit of God bears witness with them that the things that we say are true, and that hell is real. And the Spirit of God bears witness that Jesus did what He did, and that it is real and it is true. There's a whole lot more spiritually going on than we it seems as though we're walking around like Paul did for those 3 days after he was born again. But instead of walking around with our physical eyes with scales over them, all too often we're walking around with our spiritual eyes having scales with them, and we need, as Elisha said for his servant, God, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he might see. Maybe God needs to open our eyes today. that we might see. Maybe give us a vision of what's going on in the. And I'm not talking about some mystical, you know, whatever. I'm talking about reality. Maybe God needs to show us deep down in our soul and in our heart what's going on in hell right now. That's why He gave us the example. You're probably going to preach about that today, aren't you? In Luke chapter 16. So, hopefully God's going to open our eyes, maybe today and maybe next week. But we need to seek God's face that we might see. That He'd open our eyes. We sing the song, "Open my eyes, illumine me." Spirit divine. It's easy to go through the motions. It's very easy to go through the motions. By the way, I'm not in my notes. I'm kind of jumping to them, but God sometimes gives you exactly what you need, and then the notes are helpful as a supplement. But actually not as a supplement. You can't really supplement what God gives you. So God is at work. I've seen Him working in my life. I've seen Him working in our pastor's life. I've seen Him working in Luke's life. Those are the guys that are closest to me in this room as far as, you know, spending time with one another, talking with one another. I've seen Him working in some of you guys' life on a superficial basis. I don't mean He's working on a superficial basis, but I've seen on a superficial basis. I've seen kind of on the surface that God is beginning to touch the hearts of each person. I've seen God working in my wife's life. I want to leave her out. She's closer to me than they are. And I know God wants us to be awake. You know, revival also, in the definition, it carries with it a concept of being awake. You know, when you sleep and someone wakes you up, you have been revived. Okay? You've woke up. Right, and when I say that, I'm not talking to you guys physically about waking up. Maybe if you're sleeping right now, maybe you should wake up physically. But we're talking about something much more important than whether you're physically awake or asleep. We're talking about how we easily, in the system in which we live, we get real used to go to bed. Get up in the morning, get ready for work, go to work, do your job, go home, eat your dinner, do whatever it is you have to do in the evening, go to bed, get up in the morning, do it all over again, do it again the next day, do it again the next day, do it again the next day. We call that monotony. Some of us call it the rat race, right? So it's something that we do over and over and over again. Sometimes when you get used to doing things over and over and over again, even coming to church, listening to the word preached, even praying, even reading your Bible, even those things which God wants for us to do, we get so used to doing them. We get so used to handing out tracts or even preaching the gospel. We just get so used to it, and we have a form of godliness, and we're just doing what we know we're supposed to be doing. But if you're very honest with yourself, ask yourself the question right now. Is it here, or is it just outside? If it's inside, if the Spirit of God's working, and if you've got that zeal and He's stirred your heart and you're excited right now to serve Him and you can't wait till we're done so you can go out and talk to some people about the Lord, if God is already working and you've already yielded to the Spirit of God, praise God, that's awesome, that's exciting. But we all drift back into that slumber. It's easy to fall asleep. It's very easy to fall asleep when you're doing what you're used to doing. Very easy. It's high time that we awake from that sleep and that we go forth. I'm not talking about your physical eyes being closed. I'm talking about sometimes we just fall asleep spiritually. It's like we're laying there listening to God speak to us and we're having a dream. Are you dreaming this morning? God's speaking to you. Maybe it's time to wake up, open your eyes, and recognize that it's not a dream. God's really speaking to you. And He really wants to do something great.
Amen.
He really wants to see the people of McGregor Road Baptist Church serve Him from the inward man. Serve Him in fervency and in zeal and with Him in control. I prayed and begged God, please don't let this series be an opportunity for me to give people a list of things that they can do and make it appear as though they've been revived. No, that will not do. It will not do to look like you're revived. It will not do to look like you're full of the Spirit of God. It will not do to look like you're following the Lord and doing everything that He has for you to do. It will not do for it to look like you're walking with God. That's no good. No good at all. It's completely profitless on the spiritual realm. Now you may, appearing and so on, sometimes you do get an opportunity to talk to people, and sometimes the Spirit of God is working in their life, and God gets a hold of them and they get saved. God can use you even though you're not full of the Spirit. God can. But that will not do. That's not good enough. If that's good enough, we need to be right here. Not in your... I'm just... Forget that stuff about praying in your pew. If it's okay for you to go through the motions and not have the Spirit of God controlling your life, you need to be right here or here somewhere where you fit. On your knees. On your face. Begging for God to help you to understand that that will not do. We should be as Moses, who said, God, if you don't go, I'm not going.
Amen.
Don't send an angel. Don't send a friend. Don't send someone who's friends with me. Don't send another member of the church. You come. If you don't go with me, I won't go. If you don't take us to that next place that you want us to go, don't take us there. It ought to be so serious that we say, God, if you don't take this church the next step that it needs to go, and if it's just us, close it. It needs to be God who's doing what's supposed to be happening here. It needs to be the Spirit of God that is controlling the people. It needs to be no satisfaction unless we know that God is at work. Our prayer ought to be, and I've prayed this prayer, I'm not saying this out of pride or anything, and I've failed miserably at this many times. But we ought to go to God in honesty and say, God, you know I can't do this. I'm not giving you a script, all right, so don't write it down. You know I can't do this. You know I'm just going to mess it up. You know it's a waste of time. And you know I am of no profit. So rather than wasting everyone's time, either you do the work through me. I've prayed to God, either you work or take me home. Either you work or let me die. It's a waste of everyone's time for me to be doing good things and right things. It's a waste of everyone's time for me to be serving God with all of my heart. If God's not doing it, it's a waste of time. If God's not the one in control, I'm just walking in the flesh. That's worthless. It's a waste of time. And our heart's prayer ought to be, God, if you don't take my foot to the next step that you have for me, and if He's illumined the path down the way, if you don't make each step along the way, if I'm going to take control, then take me out of the picture, because it's a waste of people's time, it's a waste of your time. And then I begin to get the glory for it. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. God's supposed to get the glory. Because God's at work. Brother Luke said many times, don't waste your life doing great things for God. Don't waste your life doing great things for God. Don't waste God's time doing great things for God. Let God be glorified doing impossible things through you. God can do impossible things through you. If you don't believe it, again, let's get on our faces and ask God to show us that He can do impossible things. That He's able to do what we're not able to do. He's able to put the building out there. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. I don't have time for that. I could go a long way on that subject. But in Antioch, Barnabas went and he saw what God was doing. And he encouraged him to cleave to the Lord and with purpose of heart serve Him. And he said, hey, Paul, or Saul at the time, hey, you've got to see what God's doing over here in Antioch. Come on, let's go check it out. And then just the next chapter, we see God sending Barnabas and Saul out to spread that revival across the world. And what did they do? They went, and I put there Acts 13 through 20 and then 28 as well. They went. And with the control of the Spirit of God and God working through them, not God helping them. We don't want God's help. And He doesn't need our help, but He wants to use us and have complete control. God used them to reach all of those cities. He used them to reach Philippi. He used them to reach all of Macedonia, Thessalonica, Berea. He used them to reach the Corinthians and the churches in Asia. Ephesus. God used them to spread salvation all over the place. And as God began to save people, He put them together into bodies. And here we are, over 6,000 miles away, almost 2,000 years later, because some men wouldn't settle for doing what they could do. Because some men wouldn't settle for God helping them or them helping God. But the Spirit of God took control and used them to reach the people in their area, to reach the people in their Jerusalem, in their Judea, in their Samaria, and to reach the people unto Acton, Indiana. The Word of God has gone where it's gone because God has worked. And if this church is to be anything in the sight of God, we first have to become nothing and let God do a work that only He can do. Let's sing our song here. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, so much for Your Word. And Lord, we thank You so much for Your Spirit, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, that You require much more of us than we're capable of doing. because we're not supposed to be doing it. We're supposed to be resting in You while You do it. So, Lord, I pray that You'd take us, Lord. And, Lord, that You'd use us for Your glory. Father, that You'd have Your way at McGregor Road Baptist Church. Lord, that You'd have Your way in my heart and in my life. Pray, Lord, that we'd not be satisfied with helping You or You helping us. We'd only be satisfied with seeing the power of God work through these little vessels to bring glory to You. Father, we just look forward to seeing what You're going to do. Lord, reach Acton. Father, reach Indianapolis, Fountain Square. Father, reach this state. Lord, You know what's needed for a countrywide revival. And we pray that You would do it and that we would be yielded so that we might be vessels that are meet for Your use. Oh Lord, how we long for it and look forward to seeing You do it. In Jesus' name, amen.